You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
All right, let me set the old timer. Go ahead, Scott.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai!
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 Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go
Ghostbusters!
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
It. To each other. And. Party on, dudes!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Banzai Retro Club. We are doing a series on our favorite just random icons from the three decades that we like to cover. All four of us are here tonight. It's a wonderful experience. We're getting a lot of good stuff out there today. We have Dave.
Hello.
And Rose.
Hello.
And Suzanne.
Hi there.
And myself, Scott. So we have all been picking our favorite icons. The other three have already picked theirs, and I don't know when Dave will be releasing all of these in what order, if it's in any specific order. But I get to go last, and I'm glad that nobody took my pick.
Yeah, it's so weird that you guys would feel that way.
I know. There's so many thousands of people.
Yes.
There is. There really is. I'm going huge though. Like okay. This is a name that has, and it is a male actor, and he has got so many things under his belt. It's ridiculous. Under his 3-time world champion boxing belt.
Are we gonna have enough time? 20 minutes?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's hear it.
Sly.
Woohoo!
The Stallone.
All
right.
Yeah. So
let me ask you real quick. What was going to be your backup?
Sandra Bullock.
Ah, nice.
Aww.
That would have been a good call. All right.
Yeah. Love potion
so
number
9. I want to have
my backup. You know. My backup was either Harrison Ford or Barbara Streisand.
Oh, Barb. Really, Babs?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow. That would have been great. That would have been a great one.
I didn't have a backup.
It was Wesley or nothing.
Come on, you know James Spader would have popped up in there somewhere.
No, I've whacked James Spader way too much.
Does he know that?
I think he would have enjoyed that. So I'm sure he would have known that.
Ba-dum-bum. Yes. So, you know, he goes way back into the 70s, Stallone.
Yes.
He started acting back along well into the – actually, 69 was his first – I don't know what the square root is thing, but the square root thing is – in 1969, but I remember him in Lords of Flatbush, you know, he was kind of a gangster before gangsters, you know, were gangsters.
Yeah.
And this was back in the, you know, like it took place like in the 50s and 60s.
Okay.
But anyway, he went on to do, I think what most of us know him as is Rocky in 1976.
Yeah.
And you know, I think a lot of people, it's funny how a lot of people rip on Sylvester Stallone for his acting skills. And I think it's more of, I think his talent lies more in his directing and writing skills. I just think he's really, he's been a huge impact, especially in the decades that we love so much. 70s, 80s, 90s, he had so much stuff out there that how could, you can't even avoid him. And then the whole thing, the fun thing between him and Arnold Schwarzenegger being the two top action movie, you know, actors at the time during the 80s. But I think the movie that I think that really kind of started me on being a Sylvester Stallone fan was Rocky II. Rocky, I was a little too young for it. I was only 8 years old when that came out. So I remember going to the theater in 1979 when I was, you know, let's see, that'd be 11 years old. And remembering that, you know, how he was the comeback. He made the comeback at the end and actually won the fight. And I think he became the hero at that point. You know, he became that guy that was the underdog and was not supposed to win, and he ended up winning. And then Rocky III came out a few years later, and you had to go see that. And then Clubber Lang, Mr. T was, you know, that was fun.
What's your prediction for the fight?
Pain.
The critics are cheering for Rocky III. A knockout. Still the champ. Fast and furious. Loads of fun. Great stuff. A blockbuster. A triumph. The best Rocky of them all. Rocky III.
Now showing at selected theaters in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Check your newspaper for listings and showtime.
But I think the movie that really pushed me into being a huge fan of his was First Blood.
Oh, yeah.
The first of the Rambo series. And the rest of the Rambo series was not really that big of a deal to me. But that First Blood was incredible. Rambo, John Jay. You know, it was shot in this color of film that was very subdued and cloudy, and the way the whole thing came together, it was such a great movie. And I remember going to the theater to see this also, but my mom had taken the three of us, me and my brother and my sister. My brother and sister are both several years younger. My brother's almost 5 years younger, and my sister's almost 7 years younger. And at the theater, they had First Blood and then some other movie that was like more kid friendly. And I begged my mom, I'm like, Mom, can I go watch First Blood? I heard it was good and I wanted to go see it. And she's like, oh, okay, you can go see that. And then they went and saw their movie, you know, at the same time. And I sat in that theater by myself and I watched First Blood. And I came out and I was blown away. I'm like, this is a great freaking movie. Awesome movie. And, you know, from then on, I always kind of followed his movies. You know, when they would come out, I'd be like, all right, that's cool. That looks good. Let's go check it out. After First Blood was, well, Staying Alive uncredited. I don't know what he played in that, but he did have a couple of unusual ones over the years, like Rhinestone with Dolly Parton. That was odd. Is that a good word for it? Odd.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't. The vocal stylings of Sylvester Stallone.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Okay. Nothing to and see then, here, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Then he did Rambo: First Blood Part Two, which was okay. It was nothing like the original First Blood. But then Rocky IV came out in the same year, 1985. And man, it was such a strong statement about the Cold War and, you know, how, you know, if what was his line at the end of the day? If I can change and he can change, then we can all can change, you know, and everybody erupts into ecstatic joy. But I thought Rocky IV was really fun. What do you guys, is that one that jumps out at you at all?
I think that there's kind of a parallel with both the First Blood and the Rambo movies and the Rocky movies, where the first ones were very kind of heartfelt, more realistic, kind of emotional films.
Okay.
And then they went on to the sequels, and the sequels became very, like, pop culture kind of.
Okay.
Glossy, slick, bigger budget, you know, iconic. And then it kind of took off, and he was everybody's hero. But I kind of preferred him in the more compelling, smaller, you know, more emotional versions of those series, you know?
Okay.
I do remember how big it was. That was the one with Brigitte Nielsen and Lundgren.
Drago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a
Drago.
Big deal. Yeah, very, you know, us against them.
Yes, I will break you. Yes.
Yeah, you're going to lose. It was fun and all, but it wasn't quite the same kind of, you know, it wasn't art anymore. It was just like pop culture.
Yeah.
I love what Rocky IV brought with the, you know, all the science and the incredible training that Drago was doing, and then you had the underdog American, you know, beating up meat, you know, to train. So it was just kind of, you know, that, you know, really played into the 80s Cold War kind of thing going on, and it was, you know, to me that's kind of magical for, you know, that time period, you know, because you had that, you know, the superpowers, you know, and one was kind of like your down home favorite, you know, the every guy, you know who doesn't love Rocky, and then, you know, here's this big menacing, you know, built in a lab in Russia guy, you know, that just would, you know, is so overpowering and awesome. And
right.
Yeah, it was just, you know, it was kind of the statement of the 80s. It was just really.
And he killed Apollo, man.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that was the whole, you know, quite, motivation, I think,
yeah,
behind.
It was demonized by that, you know?
Yeah.
So we had to hate him. Yeah. We had to have a reason to hate him.
Yeah.
He could have stopped the fight. He could have saved his best friend's life. But now, the one thing he can't do is walk away.
He's had one professional fight, and one man is dead.
To BB, he's going to have to kill me.
You can't win!
Rocky IV, rated PG, now playing. Check newspapers for a theater near you.
So, anyway, well, thanks for your input on Rocky IV. I love that movie. I like the whole Rocky series up to Rocky IV. I really didn't follow much after that. But then he follows up with a couple other great movies. One I really, really love, and I think it's underrated, is Cobra. Yes. Marion Cabretti. I love this movie.
Love that movie.
Love that movie. And again, Brigitte Nielsen, because they ended up being married for a while. I really like that movie. It was fun. It was a fun cop story, you know. Cop action type movie.
Love his car.
Oh, his car was sweet. Was that like a Plymouth, like a 40s Plymouth or something like that?
Yeah. Just
really, it was beautiful. And then he went on to do a movie that is really almost a joke, but it's not. It's over the top.
Wow.
The arm wrestling one.
The arm wrestling one, yes. His name.
That's coming back to me.
His character name in that is awesome, too. It's Lincoln Hawk. And he's a... He's a truck driver who's trying to win his son back over. Because him and his wife had been, you know, divorced or whatever, and, you know, he's got part-time custody of his son. And so he takes his son on the road, and on the road he goes to these bars and he arm wrestles for money, basically. And there's a – if you guys are looking at IMDb right now by any chance, over the top, and then you have right above it, it says Sammy Hagar, winner takes all, takes it all. Mm-hmm. It is a great music movie montage.
Yeah.
For this movie. It's a great music montage. If you guys ever get a chance, go out and watch the video of Winner Takes It All by Sammy Hagar. And it's a lot of it basically wraps up the whole movie in one, you know, in 3 minutes of the song. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And then it goes on, you know, he goes on to do Rambo in this late 80s, Rambo 3, Lock Up, which.
Tango and Cash.
Did of a crime. Now, before, Tango and Cash is a really good one. Fubar. Mm. That's the first time I ever heard the word fubar. Like, what's fubar? He asked, what's fubar? I'm like, yeah, what's fubar? And who was it? Was it Kurt Russell?
Kurt Russell, yeah.
Says, fucked up beyond all recognition. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a great, that's a funny freaking little acronym there. So, Tango and Cash, love that combination of those two guys. They were really good together, Kurt Russell and Sly. Hey, if you guys see movies that you want to talk about that I'm skipping by, please jump out there.
Yeah.
Jump in and say something. Let's see, what was after Tango and Cash? Rocky V. I don't remember much about Rocky V. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. that's with Estelle Getty, which is actually really just, it's kind of a goof, you know. Early 90s, they did a lot of those weird, stupid, silly movies. I don't remember Oscar.
One of my absolute favorites.
Really? Tell me about it.
Oh my God. So Sylvester Stallone plays a gangster, but he's retired now. Wink, wink. And he has all of these people that he's relying on to keep him legit. And he has his two right-hand men. Peter Riegert plays Aldo and Chaz Palminteri plays Connie. And Marissa Tomei is his daughter. And so he's trying to be a part of the board of directors or something for this bank or something. And they're all coming this particular day to, you know, let him know if he's, you know, good enough to be on the board of directors. And anything that could possibly go wrong does. Tim Curry is in it. He plays a linguist. He's trying to teach them all how to speak proper English when they're all like streetwise and, you know, they've got that accent and everything. And the term hilarity ensues is just not said enough. It is just one foobar after another, you know, and finally, you know, and it's so great because of it's set like in the 20s, 30s, and everybody's got the garb on, and, you know, he looks like he just walked out of like Gangster's GQ. And it's amazing. If you ever get a chance to watch it, it's not going to win any awards or anything, just for the hystericalness of what happens. And I just, you know, he finally gets all these people in, and they're all like the society of like rich people, and they're like, okay, what have you got that we need to see, or what makes you think you're this, that, and the other? And then he realizes, you know what, screw you people. You know, it's just so funny that he's going through all this stuff just to please people, and then he realizes, you know, this is who I am. You know, I'm Snaps Provolone, you know, and y'all can kiss my ass. So
that's a great name too. He's got some good names throughout his acting career, actually. Like Cobra is Marion Cobretti. Mm-hmm. And of course Rocky Balboa. I mean, everybody knows that. And John J. Rambo John J. Mm-hmm. And Snaps Prevalent. That's a really funny name.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Great movie.
Well, thanks for telling us a little bit about that one, because I don't know it. Did you guys, Dave or Suzanne, did you guys know that one?
I did not know.
Okay. I barely, I maybe remember previews.
Okay.
Theaters.
What about Cliffhanger?
I didn't see that.
Okay. It's been a long time.
I liked it. Actually, it was a fun movie. It was action adventure. John Lithgow is in it. Mm-hmm. He has a great line. Give me the fucking codes. Just he nails it. It's a really intense movie. It's about, you know, out in the wilderness of Colorado or something like that, where they're mountain climbing and stuff. Mm-hmm. So good one. And then we circle back to a movie that Rose picked, Wesley Snipes, Demolition Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a cool movie.
It was a good movie. And that was the one that I mentioned before in the Wesley Snipes episode that my wife worked in the building that was filmed in.
He's a cop from the 90s who just woke up in the 21st century.
Not many people get a second chance, John Spartan.
She's his new partner.
What I wouldn't do for some action.
With all the right moves.
I'm impressed.
And all the wrong phrases.
You take this job, and you can shovel it.
Close enough.
Sylvester Stallone. Wesley Snipes. Demolition Man. Rated R. Starts Friday, October 8th at a theater near you.
So that was good stuff. And then there, in 1995, he made a movie, and one of my favorite lines by actually Rob Schneider is he's like making fun of Sylvester Stallone or his character. Yeah, I am the law.
That's pretty good.
I am the law. Yeah, thank you. I am the law. Judge Dredd. It was a futuristic kind of. I think it was comic book, right? Wasn't a comic.
Yeah, I think it was.
It was.
I remember seeing it and not being hugely impressed, but it had like some cool effects.
It was kind of cool. It wasn't hugely successful, but I kind of liked it. And the Rob Schneider comedy relief in it was funny, especially him being as popular as he was at the time through Saturday Night Live and stuff. And it was just kind of a fun movie. Okay, that's okay. Because in late 90s, I don't have a lot to talk about with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let me
say,
repetitive in the 90s.
Oh.
So.
Let me ask you, though. Do you find that actors should be, like, held responsible if they commit, like, a major crime? All of a sudden, is their work diminished because they have been party to a major crime?
Wow.
The major.
Are you talking about like a Mel Gibson situation, or? Because I don't remember Sylvester Stallone being involved with anything, or like Bill Cosby.
Well, I mean, I know that's where your mind's going. And you know, the reason why I'm asking this is because you mentioned like he was doing, Sylvester Stallone was doing so much more behind the scenes that you don't get a lot of credit for. So when I was on IMDb, I opened up his writing credits, and it was just unbelievable of all the stuff that he was participating in. Like, he had 31 writing credits until I saw that he did the screenplay for Rhinestone. And then I was like,
okay,
you're done. You're done.
All right. Well, wow, that's
fair. They can't all be winners.
I gotta say, that's pretty strong, dude. That's a good argument.
No, is that what you're thinking?
That was a crime. That was a crime.
When I worked in New York City, I saw him one day on the street. We saw him searching for through jewelry stores for engagement rings. It was kind of neat. He's not very tall.
He's not. He's like 5'7", 5'8". He's not a big guy. 5'9", maybe.
Yeah, so it was like looking through Tiffany's windows on, you know, on Fifth Avenue and such.
Yeah.
And we would just like walk him back to the building, and, you know, there he was looking in the windows and, you know, in a nice suit and stuff. And, you know, we got all excited because, you know, whenever there was like a celebrity sighting, when I worked at Columbia Pictures, all the women in the building would like call each other so that they could all try and catch him. Yeah. So, like, we started the phone chain, everybody to come down and, you know, and follow him around. And by, you know, within like 20 minutes, because everybody in the city did this, within like 20 minutes, he had like a crowd following him from store to store. But it was kind of fun. You know, celebrity sightings were fun at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess I'll wrap it up. But there was one last movie I wanted to mention before we go. It's been made in 1996 and kind of a sleeper, I think. Hidden gem, in my opinion, Daylight. As action adventure type thing where he gets, you know, they get trapped under the what's the underground tunnel between,
like,
New York
tunnel or something, or the Lincoln tunnel or something.
I think it's the Lincoln tunnel. Mm-hmm. But they get trapped down there, and, you know, they have to fight off some kind of criminals or something. It was an interesting movie, and it was kind of a fun little thing that he did as far as like action adventure. So that was the last one that I recall. The rest of the stuff was kind of getting into the 2000s, and I don't know much of it other than, you know, going on with Rambo and Rocky and all those other things.
Yeah.
And then the Expendables later on.
Yeah.
I still have yet to see them, but I've heard so many good things about that because of all the great, because of the cast of all
amazing.
Of them. So
totally
anyway,
amazing.
So that was my pick. We're gonna close the show, and thanks for letting me take such a huge name, and we were able to wrap it up in a fairly short amount of time.
Yeah, good pick. Very iconic.
Yeah.
Excellent.
He's pretty prominent and back in that, in our era. In our decades.
That is until I realized the screenplay he wrote. Then I'm like,
yeah, now you let it go.
Sylvester Stallone.
Come on. Let it go.
You need to be a little forgiving.
Just think like Bill Murray. It just doesn't matter. All right. So thanks for everybody, all the listeners, for listening to another episode of Bonsai Retro Club. And let's see, we will start with you can find all of us on at Bonsai Retro Club. Dave manages that one on Twitter and what is it? Instagram. And I am at 80s Auto Reverse on Twitter. Suzanne is at Suze Mattaboni on Twitter, and as well as her website at suzannemattaboni.com. And what else do you have? You have Twitter and
there's a Facebook and an Instagram.
Instagram.
Suzanne Mattaboni 80s is Instagram.
And then Rose, you are at 80s Music Girl on Twitter, and you're also, what is it? Dragon's Rose Red. Yes. That's your Skype name too. Oh, should I tell people that?
No, it's not, but that's
it was at one point. It was many years ago from what I recall.
Yeah.
It was Dragon something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Dragon something. That's good.
Dragon something. Anyway, so I think that's it, right? Everybody be excellent to each other and have a good whatever, and join us next time. We have no idea what we're doing next week, but it'll be fun. It's always so fun.
It is.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Too.
So, all right. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
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 Ba 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 ba! This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Budweiser, you created a monster, and they call him Frankenstein. And the tavern down the street is the laboratory where he makes the transformation all the time. And a shine of Dr. Bud is a pint of monster blood, and it does affect me different every time. Budweiser, you created a monster, and they call me Frankenstein. And they call me Frankenstein. Yeah, I'm Frankenstein. I'm Frankenstein. I'm Frankenstein.
Son, I can't tell you how good you look in that suit. That suit is you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you've done good, Nick, really. I'm proud of you. How do you like this getup?
I think I hate your tailor.
Oh, what's the matter?
What's the matter? You're wrecking my dignity. I'm a cabbie. I'm not a rhinestone laundry bag.
Oh, life's just full of little pet peeves, ain't it?
Yeah, why don't you have this hat spade while you're at it?
Why don't you go practice your walk while I practice my diction, okay?
Okay.